This episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast is sponsored by footygreets.com.
Hi, it's Paul Devlin here.
Hiya, Jeff Horsfield here.
This is Neil Danz.
Rowan Vine here.
Birthday, wedding, anniversary, or any occasion. Personalised video messages from your favourite footballers. footygreets.com.
Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
We didn't really have a catch up last week, mate. We sort of got right into the swing of things. How things been? We're obviously off for a long while.
Yeah, it was a long time.
I saw you've lost about 2 stone in that time that we're off as well.
27 pounds to be exact. Yeah, so it's I want to say it's been a long, hard process, but actually I found it really easy. I just signed up to a body conditioning coach and did it. Just planned my meals out a little bit better. Didn't really, I did a little bit of exercise to it, still doing my running and stuff like that. But yeah, just quite a high protein diet. And I've got some pretty sound results from it, to be fair. So I'm still doing it now, although the course is finished. I'm doing it for another week. And then, I'm going to go wild for
Christmas.
Christmas, and then nice. I'm back on it. I've signed back up again for January, so the work is not finished yet.
I went completely the opposite way to you, but you're going to be my inspiration in the new year.
There you go. I'll just keep sending you topless pictures of myself, and that should do it.
I want you to be my inspiration. I don't want you to make me shame you into eating more.
It'll just my naked body will distract you, and you'll comfort eat. I don't know.
Exactly.
We'll get you back on it, mate, and I can help if you want. So
far.
Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm broadcasting from a different room this evening because unfortunately the room I normally use is unsafe for me to sit in at the moment. Yeah. It's got some structural damage. It needs some remedial repair done to it, I'm afraid.
You're not the only one. You're not the only one suffering those things. So we'll obviously talk about that later on.
We'll get on to that one later. But how are you? Anyway, what have you been up to? What have you...
Just chilling in lockdown, not going to any pubs, not going to any restaurants because you can't. Not going to any football matches because you can't.
You can't.
Not doing an awful lot. Oh, well, and we couldn't anyway because we couldn't, but we could because they said they're going to put people in the main stand, aren't they? But yeah, it's not been a great time, but it's head down, do a bit of work and just get on with things. And then escape whilst watching Blues. for two games was brilliant.
Yeah, well, and it's I still think there are. We can get into this, but I still think the signs of it being positive as well. It's I get where you're coming from. My last 3 months at work have been mad, and it's just teetering now. It's got tomorrow just my last day of what I'm going to class as box ticking exercises to see me through till Christmas, and I'm done. That's me to the 4th of January. So, and I cannot wait because I've just been hard at it for this last quarter.
Enough about your life in the bedroom. I think a lot of people have been struggling mentally, and it's Christmas is obviously going to be a weird one, but hopefully it's a bit of a respite for people, a bit of a relaxing time that they can forget what's going on a little bit and have a good Christmas, a few beers.
I think a lot of people have been like that already. So, and I mean, where I live, Halloween is very, is celebrated quite, what's the word?
They
celebrate, they do. They celebrate Halloween here like big time because they don't really have November the 5th here. So their Halloween thing is kind of like their big thing. They have fireworks on Halloween. Couldn't do that this year anyway. But as soon as they were down, the Halloween decorations were down. The 1st of November, like, there were so many houses in our area just had Christmas lights up and Christmas trees. You know, I on any normal year, I think that's pretty unacceptable. We normally have ours up after the 1st of December. But I can understand people just wanting to have that sort of distraction and something else to focus on that's a little bit more positive.
One of my mates, sorry, just to jump in there, one of my mates who listens to the podcast actually had Christmas decorations up whilst he had his Halloween decorations up. Like skeleton hanging up with the Christmas tree behind.
the nightmare before Christmas.
No names. But I found that quite funny.
Fair play. I'm sure there were some houses around here that had probably had the same, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, I can understand it in a way, but it's not for me, but it is nice to have. I'm looking forward to Christmas more this year than I normally do. And I think it's probably just because of all the shit that's gone on this year.
So should we talk about football?
Oh yeah. That's what we're here for, aren't we? So yeah.
So there were two games to talk about. Before we get into it, we asked on Twitter for people's 15-ish second opinions. So let's hear some.
15-second opinion.
Tough one to take tonight. Thought we were solid up until the penalty. Thought Effridge was quality again, but sadly his penalty save couldn't help us win the game. Ultimately, individual errors cost us, but we look a lot better with this 4-2-3-1 formation. And I thought Hlivic looked good when he came onto Saturday. Keep right on.
We're definitely playing better. The result was disappointing. The performance was encouraging. Defensively, we need to be better. Need a few more signings, maybe January, clear out in the summer. But I do believe Karanka is the right man for Blues. Keep right on.
The referee wasn't to blame for the loss of the match. We lost the game because of silly individual errors. But how can you not comment on another referee spoiling another game? But it was refreshing to see us play with a little bit more freedom going forward.
Roberts is absolutely pony. The referee's absolutely pony. The linesman's pony. Duke shouldn't be starting instead of Hogan. Sanchez is absolutely brilliant. And that's about it.
Thanks, guys, for sending your messages in. And we'll ask for them in advance of recording our next podcast as well. That was obviously in regards to the Cardiff game last night. But the refereeing opinions could have gone over any of the last three games, to be honest, couldn't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So... key points that were picked out: referees, individual mistakes, but we look like we've been more positive. Apart from, but in general, but probably not Watford.
Yeah. Apart from the ponies, yes. So where do we start with that? I mean, everyone's had obviously the right to opinion. I think the majority of them were right. I have to say that, and I'm not a massive fan of Mark Roberts, but I thought Mark Roberts was very good last night, apart from that momentary lapse towards the end of the game.
On that point, and I pointed it out on Twitter, it was actually a really well worked corner. If you look at it, he's had a word with, what's his name, Glatzel, is it the striker?
Glatzel, yeah.
Had a word with him just before, and they've obviously pre-worked on it, and Glatzel's then put his hand on Roberts' back, so Roberts obviously thinks that Morrison's behind him.
Yeah.
But he's actually... one player is being marked by two Blues players, and Morrison's then just run off back put to the back post. Now, it's shit marking, it's shit defending, and there's no excusing it at all at this level.
You're right. It's clever, and it's well worked. Yeah, it's well. And a lot of people think probably would have missed that. I certainly didn't see it at the time, but obviously when you said it on Twitter, I had a quick look on at the replay and thought, well, yeah, you're right there. It's quite smart.
Do you know the only reason that it stood out for me was because as I was watching the game, as they were about to take the corner, I watched him have a little word with him, and it reminded me of back when Chelsea did it to us with Huth and Terry, I think it was, and they had a little word, and then I think it was Huth blocked off one of the players while Terry went in for the header, or the other way around.
Yeah.
But it was just very well. So when I saw them talking, I was like, right, something's going on here. Watch the replay after they scored. It's like, that's obviously what they were talking about. Then he's sort of said to him, hand on his back, and he'll think that I'm there and whatever. It was clever, but it's not good enough. It's one of them things, and you've got to learn from it, I think. That's probably something that they've picked up on in watching footage of Roberts, and they know how he marks people.
I mean, the referee was dreadful, and I completely get people's comments on that, because we've had a bit of, and I'm fairly neutral with referees, but this season seems to have gone, there's tipped me the other way. I don't think there's an agenda against us. It feels like there might be, but
I don't think there is.
But the amount of, apparently, I mean, obviously Karanka said, like, he's made comments about it again. He obviously touched on having the letters from the EFL, so the FA telling them apologies from the referees association or whatever, saying we got these decisions wrong. So, you know, they're recognizing their mistakes, but that doesn't really help us, does it? After the fact, like, you can't give us, you know, those decisions back and
doctor amputates your leg and then sends you a letter to say, oh, sorry, I amputated the wrong leg.
I'm sorry, there's actually nothing wrong with your leg. Just a sprain.
Sorry about that. All right. You did me a nice letter. It's fine.
It's, and I get people's frustrations with playing Duke up there. I think I think Duke was probably playing more for defensive set pieces, stuff like that. Cardiff are a big physical team, which, you know, we obviously saw last night there, and I think that's probably why he was in there ahead of Hogan. I would have preferred to see Hogan in there, but I think Duke also played his part in both goals.
I think that's probably something that you look at. And Blues fans obviously think, why are you playing Duke over Hogan? It doesn't work in this system. He's gone and said, if it's based on the defensive, a bit more defensive minded, and it's like a set pieces, he's a bigger guy, he can win headers, it'll batter more. Ultimately, that's not worked out. So is it hindsight, or is it a bit negative?
One of the other things as well is, like, there seems to be a bit of a, Duke seems to get a little bit beat up for it online when he doesn't pick himself. At least I don't think he does. I think the team try when he's on the pitch, they have a tendency to fire it into his head. Yeah. From the other end of the pitch quite a lot. We end up going long. We should be probably trying to play football and getting to the byline and putting crosses in, which we're not doing. So I think he's only partially not to blame for starting, because he doesn't get picked, but I think he's only partially to blame by how ineffective he can be sometimes. Yeah. The fullbacks aren't overlapping the wingers. We're not getting enough crosses in. We hardly ever seem to be getting any effective crosses in.
That's the thing. If you're playing him, you've got to either look to be getting the ball down or looking to play off him, holding the ball up, but not booting it up to his head in the first place. No. Now, I pointed out to someone, I replied to someone on Twitter last night saying that he doesn't pick himself, so it isn't his fault. Exactly what you've just said, he doesn't pick himself, but he gives 110% effort when he does play. You can't fault the effort, but in this system, it doesn't work. It encourages the players at the back, like you say, to look for him long. And, sorry, mate, you can come in and say, when we do play him, there's a lack of movement, a lack of intelligent movement in front of your Terrell. So Terrell looked pretty poor last night. But then Halilovic came on, looked better, but faced the same problems with movement ahead of him. It was exactly he looked tidier and cleverer on the ball, trying to make things happen. But in that final third, exactly the same problem. And that, for me, is where it breaks down. It's no surprise that the two goals were a centre-half and a magical goal that came for me.
I know what you're saying about it. Well, obviously, I said as well, like, encourages other players to sort of knock it long, fire it into his head. But that doesn't mean they should be doing that.
No.
As well. And I think that there needs to be, and I think it's habitual. So that they could be, because a lot of the players are still the same as the ones we had last season, but that needs to be coached out of them and I know a lot of people will disagree, but you can make Duke far more effective in that formation and setup. It can work. We're just not playing to his strengths.
It's not something that's exclusive to Duke. This is something that we saw when Heskey played for Blues as well. Would play Heskey and players panic and revert to the long ball. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
It's annoying because we've proven we can knock the ball around quite nice. Yeah. We've proven we can do that. I mean, even if you take Sanchez's goal, for example, like everyone will remember the run from the halfway line, beating players, cutting inside and firing it. Like, it's a very FIFA-esque goal. Yeah. But you look at that, there's obviously it was cleared out by Roberts, which, you know, that you can, that's irrelevant. But Torral just chested it down to Kefton Bell. Kefton Bell played a lovely ball to Duke. Duke held it up, played Sanchez in, and Sanchez was on his way. That was a very nice little move.
Yeah.
People will only see the replay from when Sanchez took the ball from the halfway line. But actually, the three passes before that were all really good as well. And we've proven with the little spells in various games this season that we can knock the ball around nicely. Let's try and do it a little bit more effectively when Duke does play, to work our way to that final third and then whip balls in one way or another. We aren't doing enough of that, which makes him look so much worse and so much more ineffective.
I think it causes a majority of the attacking players to feel frustrated. I mean, when Terrell went off last night, he looked fed up, to be honest with you. He was like, you're taking me off. I haven't had a chance to do anything. And I felt sorry for him in that respect. And then, like I say, Halilovic came on and faced the same problems. He looked cleverer on the ball, tidier on the ball, but exactly the same problems in front of him.
How did you, that's a good segue. How did you feel about those substitutions at the time? Because it was pretty much very quickly after the goal, wasn't it? When we scored and he changed, Terrell, Halilovic came on for Terrell and Bella came on for Lico. I personally thought that was maybe they were making the subs anyway and he didn't want to change the game plan because, you know, Lico's come back from a long-term injury and Terrell, we know, struggled for fitness and staying fit. So maybe those subs were probably planned and they have given it, you know, another 5 or 10 minutes with the same personnel just to keep that continuity. And yeah, whilst, you know, Halilovic looked good when he came on, he carried the ball and he was looking, sort of looked for some good openings. I'm not going to comment much on Bella because I thought he was, in fact, I said to you, I think during the game that I would have, after about 10 minutes, I was ready to take him off.
Yeah.
And then I think he didn't track his man for Wilson's goal as well. I thought it was a little bit hasty. I probably would have given it a few more minutes.
Yeah.
But you can't fault Granger because it's a positive sub.
Yeah.
It was positive, which, you know, people have complained about previously, but.
So prior to that, I mean, I wouldn't have started Duke, and I'm not hiding that in this system.
Well, I said the same.
I wouldn't start him. but it's obviously a defensive thing, and we've got him in there for set pieces and whatever. And it wouldn't surprise me if Middlesbrough as well.
Played his part in both goals as well. So,
yeah, I'm not. He did, but I think it holds us back in other ways. And we could be scoring more goals from open play if we're doing that. So, but it's the other changes that he didn't actually get round to make that worry me. And it was when we were 2-1 up, and there was Adam Clayton. Who was waiting to come on? Was it Clayton and San? No, it wasn't San Jose because he ran past them. Maybe it was Clayton and.
I'm not
Gardner,
sure.
Gary Gardner.
Gardner.
Clayton and Gardner that were set to come on. And that sort of had me think, what is he going to try here? I mean, it's a 2-1 lead at the time, I think. Is he going to try and sort of pack the midfield and shut up shop? And that's what we've seen a few too many times this season, I think, is once there's a very slim, very fine lead, that it's, right, keep this tight now. He's obviously already made those other changes.
Yeah. I think if you're bringing Clayton on, you probably would have taken off Kifton Bell for me to try and just get your foot on the ball a little bit, try and slow things down because, you know, Cardiff were sort of putting a bit of pressure on us. And we are having the odd breakaway, actually. And, you know, we look fairly effective, but actually I think what we probably needed was just control the game, have a little bit of more sort of game management, and just when, and Clayton allows us to do that because he's got the ability just to slow things down. And I don't think he's got any choice but
to slow things down at the moment.
You know what I mean, though. He's just a little bit more wily in his thinking. It's like you've got with Kefton Belge, you've got the legs, and but
then who is the other change going to be? Because if you bring in on Gardner as well, he's had to go out onto the right hand side, maybe Sanchez and. That's probably
what I would have done. Is probably we've seen Gardner go out there and do a pretty good job before defensively. I probably would have brought him on for Bella actually. But you know, I was really struggled with him last night. Normally when he comes off the bench, he looks good. He just there's something about him yesterday. Just was just so ineffective and didn't help out the already struggling. Salter at left back, but it was just it's so annoying because I thought we looked pretty good in that game. When we started to play football, we looked pretty good. Obviously, a very good save by a great penalty save by Etheridge as well.
Whilst we're coming on to that topic of the penalty, do you think that it's time that we should?
Send him to Cornea.
Another one, Mr. Michael Salisbury.
So this is from the Watford Salisbury from the Watford game. This one, isn't it, Salisbury? Because who did we have yesterday?
Salisbury.
Was it who did we have on Saturday then?
I can't remember. But Salisbury. I'm sure Salisbury was last night.
It may have been.
Yeah. I can't think of who it was on air. they just all merge into one. They're going to have a referees bar in Cornea. Call it El Arbitro and have a pound a pint. Pound for a San Miguel.
Where they can get drunk and continue to make really bad decisions for the rest of the night.
They can discuss all of their terrible decisions and who made the best, worst decision.
Yeah. And make more. So yeah, so Michael Salisbury yesterday, and then obviously.
I'm still quite wound up about it.
Well, I'm still annoyed about the one on Saturday against Watford, Matthew Donoghue, who was again miles behind play when that was given, and Pedersen, who you know is capable of a rash challenge, and maybe that went.
Against
him, but he won the ball. It wasn't you can't do that in the box. So I get that, but it wasn't a foul. He won the ball. Yeah. It's bullshit. Well, that's a point we've missed there.
Originally, I thought it was a pen, and I thought it was a poor challenge. And having watched from the other angle on Quest on the replay on there, fair play. It was a good challenge, but he needs to learn from that. And know that however bad a decision might be, officials are going to get decisions wrong. You've got a linesman and a referee at this level. We know that they're shit and they're going to give things. And if you give them an opportunity and it looks close to being a penalty, they're going to give it. So as good as the tackle was, and it was a poor decision to give it, I can understand the decision. I thought it was a pen at first.
I mean, I curse Pedersen almost instantly, but then you know you do see the replays and whatnot, and yeah, you kind of just like you change your curse from Pedersen to the referee, but the referee was shit all game again.
It wasn't just on us either. No.
It was both ways. Really, 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 really awful. The last few games, the referees, you know, we probably should be lucky. We came out with 6 points from those games. So I think we could have come out of a lot less.
Yeah. What did you think of the Watford game? If we're talking about it,
generally thought it was. I thought we were okay. Nothing more than that. I wasn't. When I saw the Watford team, I was a bit disappointed that we didn't try to make a few more positive changes, because that Watford team was, and I said on the previous podcast, I was quite worried about what their team looked like. I had no idea the amount of injuries. I think they even had two goalkeepers on the bench. They obviously had a few players out with for COVID precautions and whatnot. But yeah, a little bit disappointed, but not too bothered. I was just like, I feel like we were robbed of a point. I felt like it was an okay performance, or a fairly decent performance against a team that, you know, are going to be up there and will probably get promoted. But
is the term a vanilla performance where
it wasn't
strong and exciting, but it was all right. But see, I'm a bit more frustrated by the setup, by the system. And but I mean, for me, it was a free hit almost. People weren't expecting us to get anything out of the game. The weakened side that they're having to turn out. Just have a little go at them. We've won two on the bounce. We've played some good stuff. We're looking a bit better. Try and keep a bit of continuity going. Now, people have said he's changed it because of not having the players to fit into that system. I think that's bullshit. I think the players are there. Yeah, players might have to play a slightly different game to what they normally have to play. But we've got the squad for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe an element of, I'm sure people probably disagree with this, but I think there's maybe an element of the fact that we're missing Dean, who, you know, and I said last week, I think he's been our most consistent performer this season. I know he's not everyone's favourite player, and, you know, he's not really been mine in the past, but I can't fault him for how good he's been this season. But maybe Karanka obviously likes him. Okay, he's obviously, they've obviously built up a relationship. Dean's performing for him, doing what he's told, etc. You know, maybe there's an element of, well, I'm a little bit worried about not having Dean in there, so let's put San Jose in there, let's go with Roberts, let's go with Jake Clarkson, let's just almost pack that back three, back five, or almost overcompensate for not having your captain. Yeah. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. And I think the fact that George Friend is missing as well, so another leader at the back, a bit of a cool head, the fact that he is missing probably played into his thinking as well.
I just think, personally, we look weaker when we've gone, defensively, we look weaker when we've gone with the five at the back. And the only times that it's actually looked half decent were, was it QPR?
Preston.
We beat Preston.
So I thought we were all right on Saturday as well. If you just didn't execute in the final third, that should have, we, you know, that is the tail of the tape for a lot of games this season. So,
but then, we've looked quite solid with a four at the back over the last two games before. Fairly solid, and we've looked better going forwards. And then he's reverted it, gone to a five at the back. Yeah, we didn't look terrible with the ball. We moved the ball around midfield quite well, but without actually going anywhere. Didn't really look under any pressure. And then it's the penalty, obviously, where it's a sort of ball that's been misread. But that was actually at the probably after the change, was it? They'd made the change of system at that point, I think. He'd taken the defender off and put...
Yeah,
I think he put Pegs back to left back. And it's just sort of that switch mid-game. I don't know, mate. I'd just like to have seen us gone a bit more positive from the start of the game.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think I was okay with it when I first saw. I just wish we'd maybe sort of reacted a little bit quicker in the game. Because I think Watford... I know they've got a very good defensive record and they've done very well away from home. I can't remember off the top of my head what that record is, but they hadn't conceded many goals. And I think they've maybe only lost one game, potentially maybe none at all. They looked, for all of that, they looked a little bit, I wouldn't say nervous, but unsure at the back. And I think when we started to press them a little bit, we actually looked like we could cause them problems. And we did, I think we did cut out a couple of passes around the back and just we didn't execute things very well. But yeah, it was disappointing. I didn't get too upset about it. I went into the game thinking, you know, if we could get anything from it, I'd be happy. What did we predict? I predicted a draw, same as Ben. I think you predicted a 3-0 win or something ridiculous like that.
I was coerced into that. To be fair, I think I actually said that we were going to lose 1-0. So I got it right, but not with my prediction. But yeah, it's I don't know. It was, for me, it was just a little bit frustrating that we weren't a bit more positive in something that, as I say, for me was a free hit. It's one of them. And in the other games that we've faced, the sort of top teams in the league at the moment as well, Norwich, and we got spanked. And what was the other one?
Bournemouth
as well, and got spanked. And it sets a mentality for me. I mean, Watford probably didn't have the players on the day to make the most of if a team just sitting there. But we'll see whether that continues and whether it actually is a mentality to face the better teams in the league, or whether it's something that it's something that it was just about the players that he had at his disposal on the day.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of worked backwards from Cardiff to Watford, but the way we set up for both games, I think, is the second. Obviously, we seem more suited to playing that almost away from home. Not that, I mean, we seem to look more effective when we're away from home, and the onus is on the opposition to attack us. Maybe we need to take that, you know, that stance in, you know, every game we play. I don't know, but there definitely seems to be a little
play bit. Playing our green kid at home.
This is, yes, yeah. Obviously, there's obviously some form of luck with, obviously we lost last night, but there's obviously some form of rubber the green with that, isn't there? So I mentioned earlier on about the structural issues.
Being banished.
Yeah, and I moved into a different room to do the broadcast. Obviously, just a bit of a piss take, but I imagine most Blues fans have seen the heard about the statement earlier in the week. It was yesterday, actually, not earlier in the week, wasn't it? So I won't read it verbatim, but just a bit of an overview was, following the annual structural survey of the stadium, it had been identified that they need to do some remedial work on the Kop and the Tilton. Therefore, both stands will be closed until further notice. Now, for me, this sounds a little bit dodgy. I'm not quite sure. I mean, so on Wednesday, prior to Coventry playing there, all the staff were evacuated from the Kop. The Kop, the Tilton, Kop.
But there wouldn't be anyone in the Tilton.
Yes. Yeah. So it's, my brain went a bit. It's been so long since I've been there, Chris. I just forgot what.
In the Kop, they've got all the offices where all the staff go, marketing and whatever else.
Everybody was evacuated. A chap I know works at Coventry, and he was told, he attends every game. He was told that they had to park in the main stand car park earlier in the afternoon. So they've had some feedback. There's something, we can only make assumptions here, because it's very hard to, you can't point the finger at anyone, but
there's no details, is there? That's the thing.
There's no details, and the club aren't making a big deal about it, which, you know, why would they want to concern people? But the fact that, you know, that side of the stadium was allegedly evacuated, looking at the Coventry highlights yesterday and some of the photos, there was no lights on, apart from the floodlights, there's no lights on in any of the bits around that side of the stadium as well. So it was completely, completely dead over that
side.
Have
they evacuated all the crowdies as well?
They're probably in danger.
They'll be flattened.
Yeah. Not the flattest thing they would have seen at St Andrews this season, to be fair. But, you know, I feel like something, whether it's maybe it's negligence at the club, or, you know, they haven't done their regular checks, or there's maybe some form of, you know, something is bad enough for them to allegedly evacuate that side of this stadium. How long is this work going to take? It says further notice. There's no comment around, oh, it'll be ready for when fans can come back in.
Well, no, it actually says that when fans are allowed to come back in, at least into a, when we go into a tier two, or if we go into a tier two,
yeah,
then we can do that in the main stand and the, and the
Kilmerics. And that, and that's fine. That's fine. But I mean, between now and what the end of the season is, April, May, like, that's quite a long time. So there's no timeline there to say that when fans do come back, they can actually go and sit back in their normal seats or sit in the parts and they want to. Makes me think that actually this is probably a longer term job than people probably realize. Bit of a concern, Chris. I'm not going to lie. This does not sit right with me. There's something untoward going on here, I think. It just, I can't get my head around it.
I don't want to overthink it,
but
do you know what though? For me, the only thing that stands out for me is that yet again, just seems a because of you can't point fingers and whatever. But it doesn't surprise me that something like this goes on. But then it's a perfect metaphor for the club.
Yes,
on the face of it, you know, it's looking all right. A bit needs a bit of clean up here and there and a spruce, but everything else, it looks good. It looks good enough. It's going ticking along, but then underneath, it's just
the
rattling
foundations and the structural crumbling. Damage are crumbling away. Yeah.
For me, it's a perfect metaphor for our club.
You're absolutely spot on.
Foundations are crumbling, allegedly.
You're absolutely right. I believe Coventry have been told very little about the situation as well. They've just been told that they'll be
doing
everything from the other side of the ground whilst when they go in there. So they'll be going into doing it via the main stand until the end of the season.
You mean so, there's not much communication? That surprises me.
That, yeah, well, you know, that happens, doesn't it, I guess, when you get rid of anyone that communicates with other people. So, but
yeah, there you go. There you go.
It's a bit of a weird one. You can't point the finger at anyone specifically because, I mean, this could be historically a legacy issue from even before the current regime.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's probably not. It's probably more recent.
If it's an annual review, then it's something that's happened in the last year.
Yeah.
Isn't that what an annual review is? Something that I mean, it could mean that over time something's happened, and in this last year, it's been affected. Obviously,
you know, if you think about, you know, it's been a long time since I've taken my car for an MOT because I have a company car. But you know, when you take your car for an MOT, that they give you some like warnings, for like get this fixed for next time and stuff like that. I would not put it past that, like when they've passed. Put it past the club that when they've had some warnings before about, or you need to get X, Y, and Z sorted before we do our next annual review to make sure it's safe for the crowds, fans to come in and set. And this is before COVID, right? This is before anything like that. That it was a very much a, we'll get that sort of closer to the time. And now they've fired everybody that did stuff like that, so there's no one to actually do the job. The buck keeps getting passed to different people, and nothing's happened. Now the shit's hit the fan.
Here's your advisories, get them sorted.
And then
the mechanic gets sacked.
Or,
it'd be car owner, wouldn't it? I know what you're saying though. But yeah, it's like
hopefully the mechanic gets paid for his work. Just saying.
Let's hope so. It's obviously something that's going to run sort of longer, like you say, longer term. It's not something that's going to be fixed in a week and it's all fine. Let's hope that it's not too major to recover from. Because
I mean,
everyone's looking forward to that first game when we can actually pack St Andrews, and to now think, oh, that might not be March or April. It might be that we're looking maybe midway into next season before that's possible.
I think that the only positive to come from this is that it's happened during this period and not, you know, midway through a normal season.
Or midway through a game.
Or something's happened.
I mean, that's the major positive, isn't it?
It was too late, and yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying that it's going to be the extent of that is what would happen. But, you know, it's probably better it's happened now or there's no fans in the stadium when they can try and at least, you know, take as long as they need to get these repairs done. And if they think it's safe enough to people to sit in the GM and the main stand, which, you know, that in itself is, you know, feels like a bit of a head scratcher because I never feel safe when I sit in there. Yeah, you know, it's probably the best time it could have happened to it if there is a best time for this sort of thing. So I'm going to just, sorry, a bit of change here is that when Sky TV, if they ever come back, if they want to watch any of our games, which where do they set up? They must set up both sides of the pitch, don't they? Because they've got gantries up in the top corner.
I'm not sure that they use them for your smaller, like your championship games. When we were in the Premier League, they had someone in the cop, like on a platform, and in the Tilton as well. I think that they had cameras sort of scattered around, but I don't think they use them anymore.
Yeah. Basically, if you're on the red button, it's just someone bloody filming on their fucking mobile phone anyway, isn't it? Yep. That's what it feels like when I'm watching it sometimes. So,
basically, yeah.
Ah, well, hopefully we get this fixed. And I would like a little bit more clarity, just a little bit more transparency, shock horror. You know, we haven't got that. I would like to know a little bit more about it. Other fans probably don't, but for me, I just think it'd be nice for the club to sort of maybe expand on what needs to be done, what they're doing to improve the stadium and what would likely be probably fan experience if we ever get back there.
It's for me, there were a few people that were on Twitter saying, why are you even announcing anything? Why are you releasing it? Like, it's going to come out. So it's probably better for them. At least there is some communication, but over time, it'd be nice to have a bit more and to say, this is the time scale we're looking at. These are the problems that we're facing.
Knowing Blues, probably they probably got wind that
it was going to come out.
Third parties had got hold of some information and they wanted to beat them to the punch, a bit like the academy stuff we spoke about last week, that they just get some out ASAP. It's quite funny watching, reading some of the plies saying, don't worry about the Tilton and the cop, get the main stand sorted and get that knocked down. It's like, no, you guys, you're missing the point. The main stand is actually safe to sit in right now.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go and risk your life in the other ones, and that's fine. If it is that to that extent. But, you know,
Someone actually made a really good point on Small Leith Alliance the other day as well. When that came, so yesterday, seems like longer ago because there's been a game and whatever in between. Someone actually made a good point that we've been in the Tilton before when it's actually physically been bouncing when you felt like bloody hell, it's like the whole stand is shaking. But I just assume that it was designed to do that, but maybe not.
Yeah, the last time I really remember something like that was probably either potentially the Blackpool home game, the playoffs, or when I think we played Stoke in the League Cup. I think it was like 4-3 or 5-4, something like that, potentially. And the crowd went wild when Ollie Lee scored scored.
I've definitely felt it myself a few times.
But
I never thought anything of it. It's like, yeah, maybe it's just designed to do it because skyscrapers and stuff are designed to move around, aren't they?
I mean, I'm not an architect or have any knowledge of that sort of thing. So
neither am I.
I'll take your word for it, Chris.
I assume they were. I'm sure I'll watch that on TV.
The graphics designer.
Yeah. I'm sure I saw it on TV somewhere.
I'll take your word for it.
Now, we spoke earlier about the home form needing improving. The away form's all right, quite good. But the home form could do with improving. So are we going to wear green on Saturday against Middlesbrough?
Based on recent performances, I'd like to think we do, but it's not gonna happen, is it,
mate? If England are allowed to wear the away kit in a home game, the FA can't say shit if we decide that we want to play in our away kit or third kit.
I guess it's up to us to what we wear anyway, isn't it? I think in terms of any of our kits, so we can't wear our red if Middlesbrough are wearing their red. But you know, I don't think there's any rule to say that we have to wear.
Of the regulations. I thought you had to define something for a home kit, maybe, but maybe not.
I haven't dived that deeply
you know what,
into
that
the,
might be a great idea. Let's play in red because Middlesbrough are playing in red. So they'll struggle, we'll struggle. Play out a 0-0. I took a ranker, employ me.
I want a win on Saturday. Yeah, I'm going to be honest, Chris. I want to win.
And me, but you know, I've put the fucking idea in his head now if he's listening. listens weekly, you know.
I've heard he does. Yeah.
See?
I've heard he does.
Hola, Aitor.
Actually, he has Juan Villa listen to it and do the analysis before he gives him the podcast to listen to. So he breaks stuff down for him. So he doesn't listen himself.
Puts virtual sticky notes throughout, does he?
Basically, that's how he does, yeah, because he's very precise.
Too busy, so he's got to skip through to the key points.
So obviously, there's the visit of Neil Warnock, last signing on bonus. If you notice, his hairline's gone a little bit higher since he signed that longer contract with them.
The eyebrows are now right on the top of the head.
Looking very shiny. He's done what Neil Warnock does at Borough. And he's got them from a team that were fighting relegation at the end of last season to, I think, in the top 10, maybe 8th at the moment. Their home form is pretty much the reason why they're up there. I had a look at their away form and I think they've only won one game away from home this season. So, you know what that means? They're going to win two.
Yeah. It doesn't fill you with confidence. But that's got to change.
This to me feels like, I mean, they've lost against Preston 3-0. They've lost a few other games. I think they beat Bristol City away from home, but a lot of their games have been draws and they lost to Huddersfield. They definitely don't perform as well away from home as they do at home. Unfortunately, we play pretty poorly at home as well. So, you know, something's got to give.
It's going to be a classic,
yeah. Karanka versus Warnock, Battle of the Minds, 0-0, written all over it. A couple of sending offs, a couple of missed penalties. I don't know.
They had a sending off yesterday, didn't they? Sam Morsey, was it?
Sam Morsey, yeah. So he's out for the weekend. It's a difficult game. They're always difficult games against Warnock, aren't they? Against his sides. They're going to be physical. They're going to be aggressive. They do the basics pretty well.
I think that the set pieces are probably going to play a big part again as well.
Yeah, so we may see
Juki
in there again. We'll have a little bit more of an...
I hope not. So I've done nothing against the guy, because if you play in a system that he works in, I love the guy and love the work, right? I just don't think he works in this.
We'll have to see what Karanka decides to do. I would imagine I want to say it's going to be a fairly similar team to what we've seen midweek, but there'll be a couple. Obviously, Pedersen will be back. We may see Hogan up front. I'd keep Sanchez and Lico, I think, and probably Tural for now. I kind of like that three. I do like Bella when he's on it, but I based on his cameo or whatever it was supposed to be on yesterday, I don't think he's earned the,
call it.
Yeah, it's saunter around the pitch. Mm-hmm. I don't think he deserves to start. But Karanka doesn't necessarily think like that. So there may be, but let's be honest, Bella can create and he can score goals. He's been a little bit inconsistent this season, but then again, he's not played, consistently in terms of just like game after game. So we might see him. The back four probably, with Pedersen back, will probably pick itself, I would have thought.
Yeah,
it's
back to faithful.
Would you keep Kefton, Belden and Sonjic in the middle?
So I was obviously on the side of not using Keith when I mentioned that the other week, but now I think if you're going into that system, if you've got those more creative players in front of him, use it. He's got the energy. I'd much prefer him in there over San Jose or Clayton. I like San Jose. I think he's great on the ball, but I don't think he suits that system. The only other player who could for me potentially playing that role is Gary Gardner. And so if he wants to switch things over and maybe freshen people up, there's no real need, because we, after this game, we've got a week off. But probably Gardner would be the other one that potentially comes in. It offers you a bit more on the ball as well.
And he gives you a bit more height of set pieces as well. I'm surprised that hasn't come into to his ink. And Gardner can carry the ball. He's probably, his distribution is better than Tim Kefton Bell. He offers that height at set pieces. He's already scored a few headers, a couple of headers this season, definitely one.
Yeah.
Maybe, yes.
Merging him with last season. And
yeah, I was thinking that as well. He's definitely scored against Preston.
Yeah.
And he may have scored against Huddersfield as well. I want to say he did. I can't remember. I'm sure someone can correct me on that. I wouldn't mind seeing him in there, actually. I think he gives you the same amount of energy that Kefton Bell does. And he hasn't let us down when he has played. I like Gardner because obviously he gives you a little bit more flexibility as well, where Kefton Bell is basically, he's a centre midfielder, defensive midfielder. You're not going to get much more out of him. But, you know, with Gardner, you can pretty much play him in a number of positions. You could play him as a 4 and 8, you could play him on the wing, you can play him as a 10 really if you want to. So we've even seen him at centre back, thanks Pep. Interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing him in that. I wouldn't mind seeing him get a run of games. I think the goal threat from him as well, he works very, very hard. I'm surprised he hasn't played as much, he's played as little as he has, to be fair. But yeah, it's I think the team is fairly close to being
settled.
Yeah, with a few changes.
Switched it around.
Yeah, but enough. I mean, from our point of view, I think we can see that, you know, the 4-2-3-1 probably is the best way to forward. And the majority of the personnel is pretty settled. There'll be a few tweaks here and there, and everyone knows their job. I quite like that, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Halilovic come in and start on Saturday. He's had a couple of little cameos now. He looked tidy yesterday. So that wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, it's difficult to... I'd like to see him start, but I'd want to see him start with Hogan.
Yeah.
For a start. That's what I want to see.
I think Hogan's got to start in that system. Out of the two strikers that we've got that are in the first team, it's Hogan in that system.
Welcome to the start of the podcast, everybody. Well, we could talk about... let's not get into nitty-gritty of that one again. But I think, do you play Halilovic against a team as physical as a Neil Warnock side, or do you wait and maybe... play the against Forest or a Derby later in over the Christmas period? You know, when, you know, we're going to need players rested and Terrell could probably come out then. So I think half of the reason why Terrell came off on yesterday, I'm doing the same as you now, is that he probably had half of his thoughts on the game against Borough as well. So
apologies to anyone who's listening on Friday, Saturday, next week or whatever. Saturday was potentially in mind. Sorry, Borough was potentially in mind for that change. Potentially,
we're losing track of days. It's not even that week between Christmas and New Year yet. It's getting quite difficult.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah, I think this has got a draw written all over it. To be perfectly honest, I would like to see us go for it, and part of me thinks we probably will do, but I can just see a draw, maybe 1-1
again,
or nil nil.
Do you know what I'm going to go for?
A 3-0 Blues win.
3-0 Blues win. I'm just going to keep throwing 3-0s out there, and one time it's going to come in. But and to be fair, Preston beat them 3-0.
Yeah, Preston beat them at their own gaff. So
I'm going to go for that. I'm going to go 3-0.
I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right.
It'd be a nice early Christmas present if Blues went in there, turn them over.
I might change my mind at 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
when I see the team.
I'll get the obligatory WTF WhatsApp message at 1 minute past two. Yeah. So
send it over.
Yeah. So, all right then. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But yeah.
I'm glad that we look more solid, but I just want to see us have, and I'm not expecting promotion or anything. I'm very level headed in where I think we are. And, you know, if we're going to the last three games of the season and we're battling to see whether in the top half or the bottom half, and that's our biggest battle, I'm happy. But I just want to see a little bit more positivity in games. And, you know, we've seen it bit by bit, haven't we? But then we were sort of drip fed it and then had it taken away from us, and then had a little taste more. I don't want it taken away again. I want to see that little bit. I want to see what works.
I think, yeah, I mean, this will come up a lot. We've started to see little things, little bits of positivity. There's some good spells. None of this was going to happen overnight, was it? This is probably another conversation, another podcast, but we are 4 months in, 5 months into, or probably more than an hour, nearly 6 months into Karanka's reign with us. We've only had one transfer window. There'll be another one in January. Whether or not we do a lot of business in that, I'm not sure. They may see where they are in the league and just stick, and then look to do another bit of an overhaul in the summer. Also not quite sure how much money they would have to spend. It might be based on
people to go out first. Yeah. I think that, like you say, I think that is one for another day. It's a whole topic in itself, and
it is, yeah. And you know, this,
which midfielders do you lose?
Yes, that's another one. We'll maybe have a bit of a section on that at some point in the future, because we've got about 427. We have goalkeepers last season, and then we had midfielders this season.
We can have that as a subject when we've not got a stadium falling down or closing our academy or something. You know, we'll find somewhere for it, won't we?
There'll be I'm sure we could find some time for it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully 3-0 Blues, and we go out and we have a fucking game of the season and love it. If we're not back next week, we might try and get a little podcast. We were saying earlier that we might try and get one in before Christmas. If we do, then we'll see you next week. If not, have a lovely Christmas and potentially New Year as well. Not that New Year's not going to happen, but potentially. Oh fuck!
Well, the foundations of 2020 are crumbling, Chris. There's some structural damage to 2020. We need a brand new year just around the corner.
Yeah,
everyone's looking forward to it.
That's it, mate. We'll get there. Right. Until next time, enjoy the game. Have a great Christmas. Happy New Year. Keep right on.
Keep right on.